Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Who takes care of me when I get older? How do I take care of myself? How do I take care of mom and dad or my spouse? How do I make important decisions relating to long-term care? How do I make sense out of finding the right facility or the right level of care? How do I know if my dad is okay or my mom is doing well? Welcome. Glad to have you with us. Welcome to Assets and Aging. I have a quiz for you this morning. So if you're not driving down the road and you're alert or you're listening to this on my website, make sure you get out a pencil and paper, because we're going to see how smart you are this morning and how much you know about long-term care. Good morning. My name is Bob Scrivano, your host here for 18 years on KFBK and Assets and Aging. Glad to have you with us. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, of course, you should always consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're doing. And I know lots of them. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license recorded in Sacramento County. I'm a notary. I'm not securities licensed. Don't want to be. Let's see. What else? I don't know. There's probably other stuff. I can replace a light bulb, but I cannot fix your big screen TV. So I probably left something out of there, but also remember everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal or tax advice. It's just my opinion. Most of the time, a very good opinion, but my opinion. There is stuff going on in the long-term care world, folks, I wish I could tell you about, but I can't right now. I'll get sued. There are groups and organizations and people who are doing everything that they can to stop middle-class Americans. I just got through reading a newsletter, and if I read it to you word for word, somebody would get mad at me. But there are lots of groups and lots of organizations whose sole goal in life is to, number one, make money off of lawsuits, and number two, make sure that middle-class Americans no longer can access Medi-Cal or Medicaid for long-term care. I could just start a running list of names and articles, but do a little research. Maybe one of these days I can get a little bit more specific, but we can't right now. But I'm telling you that because of all kinds of reasons, budgetary reasons, there is a target on the back of seniors. There is a gigantic target on the back of seniors, and there is a gigantic target on the back of seniors who need long-term care. I can't say it in a different way. I read something the other day that unrelated to this, but it's kind of related to this. And that is that if those of you that are pilots, I used to fly, love to fly, used to really love to fly. A single engine piston airplane, the $100,000 of its cost is related to product liability lawsuits. And in the nursing home long-term care industry, people who do what I do, other people who do what I do, that's a really big issue. Nursing homes, the cost of nursing homes, the cost of assisted living, the cost of all of those places is higher than it needs to be. And one of the reasons is they spend a lot of time defending themselves against lawsuits. I know organizations that actually have people that troll through nursing homes and assisted living facilities looking for potential clients. And because people in nursing homes and assisted living and at home are frail and their health isn't very good, they become and their families become easy marks. It's important that you understand how long-term care works. It's important that you understand that you have a right to certain benefits as you get older. You paid taxes for them for 50 or 60 or 70 years, and you are entitled to certain benefits from the government, the VA or Medi-Cal or Medicaid or Medicare or whatever. And you also need to understand that those things are under attack daily. I'm going to give you a really quick example. And this will make no sense to you, but it will make sense to you. It's the law of unintended consequences. In California, you know, I deal with a lot of people who have a tough time signing things. Lots of notaries do. Lots of elder law attorneys do. So it used to be that if you were having somebody sign a notary book, and they, let's say they had to sign six documents, you could draw a line through your across your notary journal across the five documents, and they would only have to sign once. Well, you can't do that anymore. And you say, well, Bob, why is that a big deal? Because a lot of people, after you've, have any of you ever had to sign a loan closing document? Have you? You know, you sign like 20 times. And then what would happen if you then had to sign the notary journal 20 times? Would you be a little tired at the end of that? Well, in California, you can't do that anymore. So now you have to ask somebody who's had a stroke or somebody who's just old and it's hard for them to do this or to concentrate. And so when things happen, I point this out only to point out that when things happen, legislators and other people don't really think about the cost to human beings. They think about, oh, that sounds like a good idea. Let's do that. Let's put 3 million new Californians on Medi-Cal and call it health care. Nobody ever stops and thinks about what the cost of that is to healthcare, how people have been driven to emergency rooms, how emergency rooms are overcrowded, how people use ambulances for taxi cabs, how less than half the doctors in California don't even take Medi-Cal patients, so people have lost their doctors. You know, the idea of let's have health care for everyone sounds like a really good idea. But when we do these things, we ought to ask ourselves, what's going to be the cost, not just monetarily, but emotionally, physically, and practically, what's going to be the cost to human beings? And that's what's going on in the long-term care world right now, folks. The cost to human beings is getting larger and larger and larger and larger because there is a small but very politically powerful cadre of people who are intent on making sure that the average Californian, the average human, the average person, middle class person in the United States, there's a nonprofit in another state. There's lots of them in this state. That is a, I got to be careful what I say here because I don't want to give too much away. But I just finished reading their newsletter, and their newsletter is, let's do away with Medicaid and Medi-Cal for all people in nursing homes and force them to sell their houses. I'm not misquoting that, folks. This is an organization that's a shill for a certain group of people. And they're very politically active. And what they want you to do is they want anybody that goes into a nursing home to be forced to sell everything they have and spend it all. So when I talk about these things and we do little quizzes and when we do stuff, it's to help you be informed. I had someone in a nursing home here the other day in Sacramento who had a social worker inside the nursing home come up and say, we're going to send your spouse home. And the well spouse said, I can't take care of that person at home. I physically can't take care of that person. Well, we don't care. We're gonna if we don't send we're demanding that we be allowed to come to your home and do a home visit to see if you can take care. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is a nursing home, folks. And then they said, well, we're going to put your husband in a car and we're going to drive him to an assisted to a boarding care and he can stay there. And then the social worker says to the spouse, well, you're just trying to dump your spouse because you just don't want to be bothered with the problem anymore. And that's all done for money. Because that facility is making $700 to $900 a day on that person as a rehab patient, and they'll only make $250 a day as a long-term care patient. Now, you tell me what that's all about. Is that about care? Is that about, and the system is set up to allow them to do that. So I'm trying to tell you in as nice a way as I can that this is an area that you need to pay attention to. It's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to your parents. It's going to happen to your grammy and grampy. It's happening to your friends. It's you know, people with nobody to take care of them wind up in the conservatorship system. What a nightmare that is. Talk to an elder law attorney about conservatorships and what a great idea those are. So we have a system that is skewed toward bias against the old and infirmed and aged. And unless you and your family understand what your rights are and understand how the game is played, because it's a game, folks. It's a game involving large amounts of money. And you need to understand the game. So let me talk a little bit about a couple things, and I want to give you a quiz. I've wandered a little bit, but I've done it on purpose because in the last 2 weeks, I am just overwhelmed with the attack on the open, blatant. I mean, if you just spend some time on the internet, I wish I could just point you to places you could go and begin to read the stuff that's there about this subject, you would be stunned and amazed. It used to be we wanted to take care of grandma. Now we don't care so much about grandma as a society, as a government. It's not going to get better. It's just not going to get better. All right. So remember, how do you get a hold of me? Well, the easiest way is to call my office. My office number, write this down. 800. Yes, I'm in Sacramento, but I have an 800 number. The reason why is I have people that live in other areas that call me, and that way they don't have to pay long-distance charges. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. You can also reach me, and the best way to reach me, I have an upcoming workshop coming up. You better look. You have to go to my website to look. But it's coming up. And the last one not only sold out, they're free, but we had to have seats. Luckily, this room has a size limit. And you don't want to miss out. So my second workshop of the year is coming up. How do you find out about it? Go to my website. Everything, the best place for you to go is my website. It's assets, that's A-S-S-E-T-S, assets and aging.com. Assets and aging.com. assets&aging.com. When you go there, you can sign up for my website. You better do it soon. Look for my ads in the B. Coming up, they'll run for 4 days. They're big green ads. Assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for my newsletter. If you don't get my newsletter, you can sign out. You can sign up for the workshop. It's free, but you got to have tickets to get in. and it's very limited spacing. You can send me an email. You can ask me a question. You can get in contact. You can get information. Soon you'll be able to buy my book, which we're working on. I want it to be well done, folks, so I'm not in a hurry to get it done because I want it to be meaningful to people. I don't want it just to be a how-to book. I want it to tell a story. So all of that stuff happens on my website, or again, if you can always call me at 800-999-8007. And again, my website address is assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and, aging, aging.com. And you can go there and sign up for my workshops. Don't miss them. They're not like any other workshop you have ever been to. I can say that with an absolute certainty because I've done thousands of them, and over 25 years, people have told me you don't do a workshop like anybody else does. It's information-driven, and it's free, and you don't want to miss it. You're going to learn more than you ever thought you could learn in an hour and a half. So that's coming up. Make sure you look at my website for my upcoming workshops. I have at least one a month, and I've got a couple of them coming up. Okay, 800-999-8007. I want to give you a quiz. Do you have a pencil and paper? I'm going to give you a quiz. This is a quiz. It's true, false. It's a really simple quiz. Those of you that went to school, yeah, true, false quizzes are the best. Why? Because you've got at least a 50-50 chance. If it's multiple choice, like four things, you got a 1 in 4 chance if you guess. So it's true, false. Here's the true, false. Let's see how you do. And I'll give you the answer to each one as we go through. And I don't know if we'll get through the whole quiz. It's 20 questions. I used to give this out at the workshop. Maybe I'll start doing that again. Question number one, true, false. Medi-Cal requires you to spend down your assets to poverty level. Yes or true or false? Medi-Cal requires you to spend down your assets to poverty level. True or false? The answer is false. There's no such requirement. It's not there. In fact, you can keep a lot. You can keep a house, a business, money, IRAs, 401ks, income. You can keep a lot. Question number two, true, false. Remember, we're learning together. You're learning. Question true, they're all true, false. If someone goes on Medi-Cal, the state will take their home. True or false? I'll read the question to you again, see how you do. How many of you got the first one right? You know, here's the second one. If someone goes on Medi-Cal in a nursing home, the state will take their home. True or false? The answer is false. The state might, but they don't really take your home. They'll put a claim against it, maybe a lien, but they don't really take it. And that's another misunderstanding. And the good news is you can protect against that. Okay, that was question two. Question three. Under current rules, you have to wait. Under current rules, you have to wait at least 60 months before Medi-Cal will pay for a nursing home. True or false? I'll read it again. Under current rules, you have to wait at least 60 months before Medi-Cal will pay for a nursing home. True or false? The answer is false. There is no 60-month rule of any kind in California. There's not a 36-month rule in California. There's a 30-month transfer rule, but that's a completely different rule. Now, there are some new rules that are going to come sometime soon. They were passed by Congress in 06. California hasn't adopted them yet. That will create a 60-month transfer penalty rule, but not today. So how are you done so far? Three questions. How did you do? Fourth question. A revocable living trust will protect my assets from a Medi-Cal estate recovery. True or false? Having a revocable living trust will protect my assets from a Medi-Cal estate recovery. True or false? What do you think? Well, the answer is false. No, it won't. In fact, under the regulations in Title 22, a Medi-Cal estate recovery can be placed against a revocable living trust by law. How many of you knew that? Okay. So let's go to question number 5. How are we doing so far? Under new rules, if your home has more than $800,000 in equity, you cannot get help from Medi-Cal for nursing home bills. The answer to that is, are you ready? Huh? This one's a tough one, because there is a rule that says if your house and the current value, I don't know, it's around $840,000 or something. There is a federal rule that says if your house has more than $800,000 in equity, you cannot get Medi-Cal. But you get to determine how you figure equity. And then there are other ways to protect your house. So this question is really false because it's not definitive. If you have a house with a lot of equity, there are some things that you need to do a little differently, but it doesn't mean you could not get Medi-Cal if you were in a nursing home. Question 6. How are we doing so far? Question 6, true false. You can only give away up to $14,000 and still qualify for Medi-Cal. I'll read it again, true false. You can only give away up to $14,000 and still qualify for Medi-Cal. The answer to that is false. Has nothing to do with Medi-Cal. The $14,000 has to do with federal gift taxes. And by the way, you can give away more than $14,000 and not pay gift taxes. But it has nothing to do with Medi-Cal. But I hear that all the time. Well, Bob, I hear you can't give away more than $14,000. You get on. Has nothing to do with Medi-Cal. Has to do with federal gift tax. But it's been bantied around. 7. Question 7. You cannot, true false. You cannot give away any cash assets and qualify for Medi-Cal. True or false? I'll read it again. You cannot give away any cash assets and qualify for Medi-Cal. True or false? The answer is false. Yes, you can. There are many ways in which you can transfer cash assets and qualify for Medi-Cal. And I'm going to give you one more because we're not going to get through all 20. But let's, question number 8, true or false? This is a biggie. You can't give away your home after you are in a nursing home. True or false? You can't give away your home after you are in a nursing home. True or false? The answer to that question is false. Yes, you can. There are lots of ways in which you can protect your home after you're already in a nursing home and after you're already on Medi-Cal. Now, that's only 8 questions. I'm not going to have the time to go through all the rest of the questions. But how did you do? By the way, the answer to all of them, if you noticed, was false. How did you do on those 8 questions? Those are 8 basic questions. We talk about all of this stuff at the workshops. If you haven't been to one of my workshops, you need to come. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. You can go there during the break and sign up. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D-A-G-I-N-G. You can sign up online, assetsandaging.com, and sign up for the workshop. It's important that you know the answers to these questions. because these are the questions that trap people down the road when they don't know what they can do. When the nursing home says that we have no Medi-Cal beds and therefore your husband's going to have to leave, do you know what the answer to that is? Do you know if that's true or not? If you don't, you need to. You need to understand what's going on, and you need to understand how this all works. That's why Assets and Aging for 25 years has been California's single best source for information on the issues of aging. Get to my workshop. Get in to see me. My appointments, my consultations are free. You can call me for a consultation at 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, and sign up to come and see me or get to a workshop. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back in just a second. Don't go away right here on Assets and Aging. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. So how did y'all do on the quiz in the first half hour? Hopefully you did great. Y'all got 100%. I didn't get a chance to go through all the rest of them, but I just wanted you to have a basic understanding of how much misinformation there is floating around out there. There's other questions on IRAs and other things and life insurance that people have heard about that are in the quiz. But you need to understand that not everything you hear is the truth. That's why I've been doing this radio show for all these years, because I'm going to keep telling people what I believe. It's just like the VA stuff, folks. You've been told in order to get on VA benefits, you have to buy a product, or in order to get on VA benefits, you have to pay somebody, or in order to get... There's so much misinformation about VA benefits. It's stunning how much there is out there. I know lots of qualified people that can help handle VA stuff. If you're looking for help with that, one of these days I'll have get a VA accredited attorney on the show, and we can talk about VA benefits. But if you've talked to anybody about service connected disability or aid in attendance and you're not sure what the truth is, give me a call and I'll try to get you in touch with the truth. Okay, I want to talk about caregivers. I have a gigantic spot in my heart for caregivers. Unless you've been a 24-hour-a-day caregiver for someone, you cannot imagine, you cannot begin to imagine how hard it is. Oh, by the way, let me give you my contact information. I always have so much to talk about, folks. I have literally stacks and stacks and stacks of stuff here to talk about every week, and I get sidetracked sometimes. Remember, you can always reach me at my office, which is 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assets, assets, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. You can go there and ask me a question. You can sign up for a workshop. You can get information. You can listen to my podcast. Don't forget, every Wednesday I do a podcast on my website. Every Wednesday at noon on a different subject. They last no more than 15 minutes. You can also scroll down on my website and you can listen to my archived podcasts, and you can listen to my archived radio shows. There's just a ton of information. I want you to be informed. I don't want you to become a victim of misinformation. So make sure you stay in touch with me. If you haven't signed up for my free newsletter, you can do that on the web. You can sign up for my free newsletter by, again, going to assetsandaging.com and you can sign up for my free newsletter to keep you in touch with what's happening and what's going on and all that kind of stuff. Okay, I want to talk about caregivers. And again, you can always call me at 800-999-8007 if you're, you know, if you need to get a hold of me. I want to talk about caregivers. This is from a report done a couple years ago, but it's still completely relevant. It was done by, it's called the Evercare Study of Caregivers. It was released by Evercare. This is from their report and their study, and I ran across it. I haven't dealt with it for a couple of years, but I thought it was important. And the title of the article was "Caregivers Stressed and Depressed Sink into Downward Health Spiral." I've talked about caregivers before. And I've talked about the risk that caregivers are at. When dad goes, you know, a little goofy on us, when dad has a stroke or mom gets ill, everybody focuses on the ill person. Almost no one focuses on the well person. Almost no one focuses on how do we make sure that the well spouse or the well caregiver, might be a child, stays healthy. In 1/3 of the cases, the well spouse dies before the ill spouse. One of the things that people don't spend nearly enough time thinking about is mom is taking care of dad. Dad has a little dementia. Mom is taking care of dad, and everybody's focused on dad. What happens when mom drops dead tomorrow? Who takes care of dad? Come on, quickly, quickly, quickly. Mom had a stroke, went to the hospital. Dad's still at home alone. Who takes care of dad? We haven't thought about nearly enough the caregiver and the stress on the caregiver and how we protect the caregiver. And if it's not mom and it's going to be a paid caregiver, how do we pay for the paid caregiver? They're questions that people just don't spend a lot of time on, but they should. Caregivers eat poorly. They're fatigued all the time. Depression is a really big issue in caregivers. Insufficient exercise, over-medicating so that they can sleep and they can relax and they're not stressed. Focusing on the caregiver is, if not at least as important, maybe more important than focusing on the ill spouse. Generally speaking, we cannot change the path of the ill spouse. If dad has dementia, he's going to be completely demented eventually. If dad has had a stroke and he's reached his plateau, he's not going to get any better. It's important that we focus on the caregiver. It's important that we focus, if we are really going to try to take care of the ill person, we have to keep the caregiver healthy. An alarming 91% of the caregivers surveyed all are in fair or poor health and have seen a decline in their health as a result of caregiving. But 91% of all the caregivers surveyed suffer from depression. And 8 out of the 10 of those with depression say that it continues to get worse. Now, for some of you, I'm hitting very close to home. Because some of you know a caregiver, some of you are a caregiver, and you are watching that person's health impacted. Because here's the reality of what happens. They don't sleep, they don't eat properly, they don't sometimes even have time to bathe properly, They don't get to wash their hair as much as they used to. They don't do the laundry as often as they used to because they spend so much time taking care of the ill person. And then when they're not, they're trying to catch a little bit of sleep. They're terrified of leaving the house to go out and pick up prescriptions or food because they don't want to leave that person there alone. How am I doing so far? For those of you that have been a caregiver or have observed this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it doesn't have anything to do, now listen to what I'm about to tell you. It doesn't have anything to do with love. The fact that I love the person is why I will sacrifice. If I didn't love them, I wouldn't care. So people say, well, of course I'm going to do all this because I love this person. That has nothing to do with it. And doing it correctly doesn't diminish the fact that you love that person. The other thing everyone has to acknowledge is the 900-pound gorilla in the room, which is guilt. This wasn't supposed to happen. I was supposed to go first. I wasn't supposed to have to sit here and change my wife's diapers. I wasn't supposed to sit here and have to do things and see things I never in my life thought I would see. And I promised my mom or my dad that I would never let this happen. By the way, really bad promise to make. The promise to make is I'll do the best I can. There are about 45 to 50 million caregivers in the U.S. with about a fourth, listen to this, you think you're alone in this, you're not. With about a fourth of all caregivers, I'm sorry, about a fourth of all households having at least one caregiver. And as my generation, the baby boomers, keep getting older and older and older, that number is going to go up. And who's going to take care of us? My kids don't live close to us. Is my wife, those of you that know me, know I'm a large person. I'm 6'4", and I weigh more than 110 pounds. I'm not telling you the number. How's my wife going to get me in and out of bed? I really began to understand caregivers in a real way when I had my knees replaced. I had both my knees replaced. I had a bilateral knee replacement. I had them done at the same time. So I was pretty immobile for a couple weeks. It was hard getting around because I didn't have a good leg to support myself on. And I watched what my wife had to do to try to help me. And in 2 weeks, she was shot. 2 weeks. Now, imagine if she had to do that for me and I slept because, you know, I was on pain meds. Imagine if I added to that grief that I wandered around a little bit and I wandered outside once in a while. And I did this for 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years. What kind of impact would that have on my wife, who's also a senior? About 1 out of every 4 homes has a caregiver in it in the United States. Stress is pervasive because we worry constantly about that ill person. We worry about where they are. We worry about every sound they make. We worry about, are they eating well? We're worried about, you know, did they take their medication? We're worried about, are they going to fall down? We're worried about. 90% of all caregivers say they're absolutely more stressed than they were before they started the process. And most of the respondents in the 70 to 80% range reported lack of energy, sleep, more pains and aches, either weight gain or weight loss. A lot of caregivers suffer weight loss because they don't take time to eat. All as a result of stress. And 10% of those people who responded to the survey who were caregivers said they reported an increased misuse of prescription drugs or alcohol, and more than half began taking medications they had never taken before. Being a caregiver is one of the, it's a rewarding thing, but it's also one of the hardest things anyone can do. Here's another interesting thing from this study. I want to say this in the nicest way I can say it. A huge majority of caregivers feel alone and abandoned and don't ask for help. 3/4 of caregivers said they spend less time with their family and friends. 70% said their friends come to see them less often. Why? Because of that ill person that's there that's uncomfortable to be around. It is really hard work. And by the way, but it's little things, folks. For instance, 1/3 of all the respondents said they don't go to the dentist as often because so their teeth begin to get worse because they don't want to go out and leave the home. 1/3 of the caregivers who responded said they don't go to the eye doctor as often, so they don't get their glasses fixed as often because they don't want to leave the home. I'm saying all this. I'm not trying to make life harder for caregivers. I want to accomplish two things in this. One is those of you that aren't caregivers, I want you to look around your world and I want you to figure out who in your world is. And I need you to seek them out. And I need you to let them know that you're there and that you're available. And that if nothing else, you go to the house and let them go to a movie for 2 hours so they can get out of town. I want you to learn about things like respite care, where you can take the ill spouse to an assisted living facility for the weekend so that you can go visit your kids. Kids, I want you to agree to take the ill spouse for a weekend so that your mom or your dad can get some rest. And then, by the way, in doing that, you'll understand how hard they're working. Those of you that are caregivers, I want you to be more involved in your own well-being. I want you to get over the, well, I don't want to bother my children with this. You know, they have their own lives. Baloney. You raised your children to be responsible. Let them be responsible. They need to understand what you're going through. And caregivers, pardon me, you need to be honest with those around you about what you're going through and how you're feeling. Having a counselor or a psychologist or somebody like that in your life, if you're a caregiver, can literally be life-saving to help you learn to cope with what's going on and learn what your triggers are and learn how you can better help and understand the person you're taking care of. You need to be caregivers. You need to be involved in their medical care. You need to be with the doctor and go to the doctor and demand to know what's going on so that you can participate in a good way with that person's medical care. Caregivers do an amazing job. And then I want you to ask yourself another thing when it comes to caregivers. If you don't have a spouse or your spouse couldn't be the caregiver, who's it going to be? Are you going to move in with the kids? Pardon me. Are the kids going to move in with you? Is your granddaughter going to move in to take care of you? If your spouse isn't the caregiver, who's it going to be? Are you going to hire a caregiver? Okay, that's $20 to $25 an hour. I just had somebody paying for round-the-clock care for a caregiver, and they were paying $536 a day. You do the math. So if I have to hire a caregiver, how am I going to pay for it? Remember the two questions we ask here all the time. Who's going to take care of me and how am I going to pay for it? So who's your caregiver going to be? Is it going to be your spouse? What happens if your spouse gets sick? What happens if your spouse dies? What happens if your spouse can't take care of you? Then who's it going to be? Children. Are you going to be the caregiver? Are you going to move in with mom or dad? I had someone the other day who has a parent, and that parent has some problems, and the other parent has some problems. So one of the children is going to take one of the parents to live with them. And we had a long talk about what that's going to mean. Because we had to go through all the things that they needed to think about. Not only the parent that's going to go and live with the child, it's going to be a big change for everybody in that house because that parent is going to be in a strange situation and their spouse isn't going to be there. And how are they going to react to that? And what about the spouse that's left at home to feel guilty about the fact that they couldn't take care of their ill spouse? What do they do? They're now home all alone. All of this stuff has consequences, and when we start thinking about caregiving, we have to walk through what I call, and lots of people call, I didn't invent this phrase, but the law of unintended consequences. What are the unintended consequences to not only the ill spouse, but to the caregiver? Have you thought it through? If you're a child, do you have a care contract? Do you have something that gives you permission to get paid by your parents? Do you have something that gives you permission to go get their medical records and talk to their doctors and make medical decisions for them and pick up prescription, including controlled substances like pain meds and sleeping tablets and those kinds of things? Do you know who their doctors are? Do you know where their medical records are? All of those things are important as we begin to figure out how we're going to deal with caregivers. And again, I'll go back to the stat I gave you in the beginning of this subject. One out of every four households in America has a caregiver present. Just let that sink in for a minute. Some of them secretly. Bob, what do you mean secretly? I don't understand. Because you don't really know how bad that husband is that wife is taking care of. Because when you see the husband for 5 minutes, he seems perfectly fine. You don't know what the hell is that she's living the other 24 hours of the day when you're not there. There needs to be assessments. There needs to be an honest evaluation of the ill person and the ability of the caregiver to take care of that person. Caregiving is hard work. What have you done to begin to plan for it? You can call me. One of the things is having a family conference. We've talked about this before. And you can call me, and I help facilitate family conferences all the time. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. I talk about this a lot at the workshops. A lot. If you haven't been to one of my workshops, get to my next one. Go to my webpage, assetsandaging.com. assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging.com, And you can sign up for my newsletter. You can sign up for an upcoming workshop. You can listen to the radio shows or the podcast. Don't forget, every Wednesday at noon, I do a podcast covering one subject. It lasts 15 minutes. That's all, just 15 minutes. And you can listen to those. They're archived on my webpage. But you have to become more informed. You have to get help. You have to have a plan. It's just important. And the single best source of all of that is this radio show, the workshops, my newsletter. If you don't get my newsletter, sign up. If you don't get my newsletter, sign up. You can do that online. Go to assetsandaging.com. You can sign up for an appointment. You can sign up, pardon me, for my newsletter, or you can sign up for one of my upcoming workshops, and I'll send you tickets. But we no longer have the option as we get older of being uninformed. We have to have a plan. We have to face all of this with reality in mind. We have to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make wise decisions. And that always comes from information. Always comes from information. 800-999-8007. My website, assetsandaging.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @AssetsAndAging. Or again, feel free to call anytime. 800-999-8007. But make sure in your family you have a plan for not only the person who needs care, but the caregiver. We'll talk to you here again next week, same time, same place. Otherwise, go to the website, assetsandaging.com. Have a great day, and we'll see you at the podcast on Wednesday. Bye-bye.